is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, The Golf Cart Factory, Advanced Rehabilitation, Live Oak Fiber, and by TheSouthernSportsEdition.com. And now, here's your host, the voice of the Camden County Wildcats, Michael Spears.
Welcome to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment's brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, by Golf Cart Factory, Advanced Rehabilitation, Live Oak Fiber, and the SouthernSportsEdition.com. And now joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Travis Rowland. Good morning, coach. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing well. Can't complain. Thankful to be here.
Yes, sir. Hey, so, I mean, I don't know where else you begin. Last Friday was another fantastic game for fans of this team, for sure, from us sitting up in the stands watching your boys play. A 62-6 win over Rebalt High School. Dr. Green came in the press box with us at halftime and made sure that we knew it was actually supposed to be Rebol High School, I think is how they pronounce that. Yep. She'd spent some time there. But what did you see or take away from that contest, Coach?
I saw another game of good execution. I think this was the first complete game we played, and that's the thing I was most excited about. Like I keep telling the kids, you know, if your opponent, and I put this in air quotes so people can't see them, if your opponent is less than you, then do what you're supposed to do and do it fast, do it early, do it quick. If you are who you say you are. And so that was the thing I wanted to see us do. We dominated offensively, defensively, and special teams wise, and we did it clean. It wasn't something where it was like, oh, let's just throw a jump ball to Elias, or oh, you know, our D-line is just muscling them. Like, you know, obviously you want that to be that way, but you want to see technique within the muscling of the team. And so, and then on special teams, you want to see us kick touchbacks. You want to see us, you know, execute our two-point conversion stuff. You want to make sure we didn't punt, but you want to make sure the return game is in the right place. And I think you saw all three of those units finally come together on the same night, because we've had offense and special teams, then we've had special teams and defense in spurts of the game, or we had offense, defense, but we had bad snaps or something. Friday was the first time we had all three of those things be really good. And then our flags, I want to say I don't think we had any. I know we weren't penalized on offense. We had the roughing the passer.
I think that might be the only one.
I think that was the only one. And so that's where you see the growth. And because if there was a negative, right, going into any of these games or coming out of some of the games, it was the personal foul stuff or just offsides or whatever it may be. And so Friday, only having one flag, which was a roughing the quarterback, that's something that I was excited about, because you're watching us grow and mature, because we keep telling our guys as the opponents get tougher, which you got a tough one coming this week, and then going into region play, you're not going to be able to have flag fest and then be successful. So excited that, you know, that we were able to kind of assert our might a little bit, you know, in the game on Friday.
And like we talked about a little bit last week, even that one flag is kind of an effort penalty, right? Yeah. Like, as long as it's not a flagrant hit on the quarterback,
for sure.
That's an effort penalty. Yeah. None of those, you know, in your mind penalties or those mental errors. That's fantastic. So complete and efficient is definitely the case. Speaking of efficiency, your quarterback, man, Parks remains extremely efficient. Just one half a play, 7 for 9, 103 yards, 2 more touchdowns.
Yep. I think, again, you know, we made the joke, you know, I met with the coaches on Sunday, and then one of the things was about not getting complacent and taking advantage of the opportunity in front of us. You know, it's not, you know, I had everybody kind of say if they've coached in a championship game, and if so, when was the last time? You know, I said, guys, it took me 20 years from my senior year of high school to coach. Well, 19, I coached in, you know, 19 years, I coached in a game in 2022, and obviously last year. So that's a long time. That's a lot of life that passes you by over the course of football. We had some coaches that hadn't been to a game since 99. I said, there's only so many times you get generational type of talents on your program. And I said, you know, it's only so many times you get a quarterback like Parks where the entire team believes in the person that's pulling the trigger. Because a lot of the time, You know, you got some guys that are like, oh, we should have little Johnny out there instead of this guy.
Oh, sure.
I said, we're in a team, in a place right now where our program, every kid in this program believes in Parks.
Nobody's
questioning. And you don't get that opportunity a lot. And so we have to continue to take advantage of what he's able to do and how confident he is right now in himself and his ability. So, you know, like he's doing everything right now. But it's because he's here early. He goes home late. You know, him and Coach offered a meeting constantly, and Jimmy Kirkland with them. You know, they're constantly making sure that they're on point with what they're trying to do schematically. So, you know, you're just seeing the kid that puts in the work, and you're seeing the work prove itself.
You're listening to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I finally got the chance personally last week to get to meet in person, spend a little time with Coach Alford.
Okay.
And he's as impressive once you meet him as everything you hear about him.
For sure.
Everything that he's done has been you know, just really great. You talked a second ago about and one of the things we noticed, just the improvement in the place kicking game, you know, the long snapping and the holding and stuff, and what a weapon that is. Talk about that. I mean, is it? I know Coach Reeling's involved in that big time.
Yeah, he sure is.
It just seems so much better.
So, you know, first of all, anytime you have a coach like Coach Reeling where, you know, when everybody goes to Indy, a lot of the programs, the specialists are always left to where they don't have anybody. Now, you know, we were blessed at Maryland. We had someone to coach them, you know, the places I've been. Thankfully, we've had a kicking coach. Everybody doesn't have that.
Sure.
You know, and so, obviously, those guys are getting – basically, you know, like parents pay a lot of money for that kind of training and coaching.
Oh my gosh.
I have a buddy who runs a business.
Long snapper
Fort
camp,
University
camps and stuff.
That,
yeah.
You know, he's getting paid because of his specialty. And so our guys are getting that on the daily, right? Where they have a coach that's monitoring everything they do. And then I also think, you know, not many programs are giving an hour a week to special teams, especially when you think about in the course of the three work days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, our guys are getting 20 minutes each day. So we're getting an hour, you know, it's an hour worth of special teams time for total group work, where that's where I think some of our advantages in these games is showing up because of how we've decided to have our practice schedule go. And then not to mention on Thursdays, you know, we spend the first 30 minutes of that hour practice where we call it mock kicking game, where we go through a script. And they're getting even more reps then. So I think that's where you're seeing some of the execution part come from. But Coach Reeling has been amazing. You know, when Nason was having some issues early in the year with some of the snaps, and I think it was a confidence thing because he's a sophomore.
Oh, sure.
And those lights are bright and it's loud, and it's his first time out there. I think Coach Reeling's done a great job of calming him down and letting him know, son, you're good at what you do. Because Nason's going to – he's going to be a Division I player for what he does as a long snapper. And then, you know, our kicker and punter, man, McCullers and Clellan are doing a phenomenal job, you know, executing for us. You know, we didn't get to punt on Friday, thankfully, right? But in the
seemed
game,
like Clint got a couple extra points or kickoffs that I saw out there too.
So, you know, but I think we had 5 touchbacks on Friday. So, you know, just excited that those guys are weapons that we can use and continue to use for us to get better at what we're doing.
And I don't mean to harp on it, but you know, like the place kicking game, that's such a habitual thing, right?
So
I noticed that they had a offsides on an extra point attempt.
Yep.
And it's interesting to see coaches decline that a lot of times because it changes
what
that looks like.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you don't want to, like, it's like on defense, you know, offensive coordinators want to motion you to change your defensive kid's eye level. Sometimes changing eye level of, you know, the spot he was already locked in on, changing that spot up can be detrimental sometimes. You know, kickers are very, like you say, habitual. They're creatures of habit now.
Yes.
So you mess around and play with that. You know, you can get a not great result. And so we just didn't want to mess with it, you know, by messing up his steps or whatever. And I think just, you know, kind of allowing those guys to – they need things to be perfect, just like a quarterback or just like a DB needs things to be perfect. They need it the exact same way as those guys. So, you know, we try to make them know that they're important to what we have going on.
And in the kick return game, my goodness, what type of weapon is David Coleman in the return game? He got I think it was a 65-yard punt return. And then I think he had one at Brunswick, didn't he? Didn't he have a kick return at Brunswick?
He had a kick return at Brunswick, and then he had the punt returns. He had one. He got tackled at the 5,
yes.
I think it was, this week on the punt return. And then he also had the touchdown. DC, you know, I challenged him a couple weeks ago. You know, I told him that the kid at Richmond Hill, I said, their corner plays all game long. I said, what's the difference between, you know, when a coach comes to recruit you guys, Who's he going to take? It's going to take the kid that never leaves the field, offense, defense, and special teams, or it's going to take you who, against Brunswick, you tapped out on us because you had some cramps. I said, so, you know, we gave him a challenge, and he's accepted it. You know, he's even trying to get on offense more, which I think we'll start to see that part of it come as we get into region play, but he's definitely accepted the challenge, and he's playing his tail off right now and giving us another explosive weapon on in the return game. And like I said, too, you know, shoot, Hardy hasn't gotten an opportunity back there. Sean Grant. So we've got some guys that can be electric for us that I think will even help more with the field position, because even if you sky kick it, we've got some guys in those spots that can still give us some good returns.
More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network right now. These words from our sponsors.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons will design a treatment plan just for you, so you can get back in the game quickly and safely. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
Looking for an affordable golf cart? Golf Cart Factory is your answer. Exclusive dealer of Royal EV golf carts, way more affordable than those other guys. Conveniently located 2723 Glen Avenue, right next to Pinball Palace. Come see our great selection. Free delivery and financing available. Street legal carts, maintenance, free batteries, road speeds up to 35 miles an hour, Bluetooth stereo, rear backup camera, and more. Golf Cart Factory, 470-929-3023, or check them out online, golfcartfactory.com.
Welcome back into the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment's brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Golf Cart Factory, and by Advanced Rehabilitation. Elias, again, you know, just two quarters of play, 4 for 88, 2 touchdowns. How many does he have total now? It's got to be approaching 6 for 7 for him,
I think he's at 7 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's where he's at. So he's and like I told somebody earlier when I was doing an interview, I said the best part about what he's doing is everything is within the scheme of play. We're not having to throw him a bunch of jump balls where his 6'7"
just
stature,
athleticism.
Right. It's the scheme, it's Parks making the right decisions. And that's why, you know, it's weird because we talk about why this Spruce Creek game is so important for us, because they have a good defensive line. Like Vadosta has a good defensive line, like a couple other teams in our region will have good defensive lines, but this may be the best secondary we'll see outside of West Broward. And what happens week to week is, okay, if you take Elias away, well, here comes Sean. You know, one game both of them might go off, and then you take both of them away, and then here comes the running game. So it's always exciting to see how teams decide to want to play us, because, you know, Coach Alfred's done a good job, and that's why, you know, I'm bragging myself, that's why I hired him.
He does
a good job of having answers for the things that defenses do. So, you know, I'm definitely excited about, you know, watching Elias continue to be a focal point for our offense.
We've talked a bunch about some really great sophomores that you have on this team.
Oh, yeah.
What a game, though, from Malik Patterson on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Bite team corner. What it got, interception and then a touchdown after the block punt.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another one of these 10th graders that you've got coming.
Oh, he did have a great game, didn't he?
He did, yes. Yes, he did.
So, you know, he's a kid that's worked hard, man. You know, we try to make him be the number two quarterback. He was hell-bent against that even happening. He didn't want to do it, yeah.
He didn't want to play quarter?
Quarterback.
No. Oh, quarter.
Yeah, he's a really good quarterback. He played quarterback as a freshman last year.
I thought so.
But, you know, he wanted to be a DB, and I understand why. You know, there's a lot of seniors that we're going to graduate after this year, defensive back, and so that, you know, but he played a great game. He's a kid that, you know, in a lot of places he'd probably be starting. If not for, you know, the super speed of Nat King and then obviously David Coleman, you know, being the kind of recruit he is right now. But Malik works really hard every day because he knows he's one play away. And, you know, again, we took the starters out at halftime and those guys were going against, you know, Rebolt's ones, you know, when he got the interception. You know, and he's a kid that's full of athleticism. He's a bigger kid, too. I mean, he's every piece of 6'2 and about 180. So he's, you know, he's on the rise. And then this sophomore class, like everybody can see, is a very, very good group. And again, it's very rare when you have
senior offensive lineman to start for you, mixed with a senior tight end that's really good, and then you've got a group of sophomores who allow us to you know, make the team even more talented. So you're excited about what those guys are doing as a whole total group.
So what part of your offense do you think is most improved this far in this season, and what part do you think still has challenges? I'll put you on the spot here.
Man, I would say the efficiency of the pass game is most improved. I think.
If
you go back to Benedictine, mm-hmm. you know, we struggled to complete some balls, and I think people were like, "Oh God, this isn't gonna, the operation switching from wing T to a power spread isn't looking too great." And then I think, you know, that's the most improved. And I think the biggest part, the biggest challenge we still, I think we're gonna have to face and answer is when someone does decide to blitz us, you know, all out blitz.
Sure.
You know, how will we pick it up? You know, will my quarterback, you know, who's shorter in stature, you know, still be able to see when all those gaps are covered? So I think that'll be the biggest question still have to answer is how we will deal with when someone, because someone's going to decide eventually to just blitz
bring
us.
Bring the house.
Right.
Yeah.
Just bring the house and say, we're going to live with, can they pick it up? You know, and so that's where I think. Those are the two. That's the biggest challenge that we'll face. You know, later. You know, yeah. as we get to go, because you know they may not try, but I think you know if I were defending us, that'd be the thing I would try. Just see if we can get
Give
the pressure
a shot. Yeah.
before he can get the ball off.
We've seen Parks go to the jump pass a couple times. Yeah, no doubt about that. You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, your D held the team for under 90 yards rushing for the third straight week. And it actually was way better than the previous two.
Right.
But even so, what does that say about this defense? We're
getting what we want. You know, we want to make a team, you know, one-dimensional. And like I say, I always said you can defend the pass much, much better when you know it's coming.
Yeah.
And so I think when you can just try to discourage a coordinator on the other side from running the football because of how you line up and then how you play and fly around, I think it helps out tremendously. You know, a D-line and the DBs can only be as good as the down and distance, right? If a defense lineman isn't always stuck in between it being second and six and third and three and third and four, they can't pin their ears back for a pass rush, and they can't necessarily, you know, want to be really stalwart in playing the run because the playbook's wide open. And so that's why it's been important for us to statistically show another team when they pull their stats from our games, they're looking and saying like, wow, it is really hard to run the football, be it scheme and be it what the talent is out there doing. And so it's gonna always be a point of emphasis for us.
Sure.
To make sure people can't, because when someone can run the ball on you, like it's one of the most helpless feelings there is in football when a team's able to just run the ball at you and you know there's nothing you can
can't
do.
Stop.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a very welcoming feeling as a coach or as a player because mm-hmm. it's demoralizing. It really kind of defeats you when you're trying everything in the playbook and you just can't stop them from running the football. So that's just a point of emphasis for us as a program.
So some of these defensive stats: Jerome Roundtree, 3 tackles for loss, 2 hurries. Couple of solo tackles. Wayne Austell, yep. 2 solos, 4 assists, 1 tackle for loss, quarterback hurry. Kingston Melton, 3 solos, 4 assists, 1 tackle for loss, and a quarterback hurry. What's cool about that is the consistency across the board. You don't just have one guy yep. that's standing out and wreaking havoc. They're all getting in there.
Yep. Oh, I think what you're seeing too, you know, Coach Thompson, who's kind of taking some of the play calling responsibility for us as a coordinator. We're doing a good job of.
That's
of,
been a question in everybody's mind there. It's good to hear you say that.
Yeah. My hand is all over it, but you know. Coach Thompson's a really good football coach, and he's one of the guys that came to me early. And you know, kind of we have some of the same mind process, and we're definitely, you know, calling it together. You know, if I have to go off and have a conversation with the ref, you know, he's more than capable of making sure that we get where we got to get to. And I'm always more concerned about the coverage part of it anyways. I think schematically how we blitz, when we blitz, who we blitz, that's something we come together. The coverage part is more so my baby if I had to pick. But I think that you're seeing the scheme work. You know, we blitz different guys all throughout the game, so everybody's getting their different opportunities to go and get tackles for loss. And I think what that shows, too, is that we're not right-handed, we're not left-handed, we're not down the middle. You know, we're all over the place with where the pressure's coming from, which then doesn't allow the other team to kind of say, okay, this is the guy that's rushing
we're gonna stop
all
this
the
guy.
Time.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, because we're a stacked defense, You don't know if it's the left stack backer, the right stack backer, if it's the nickel safety, if it's one of the high safeties, and that's where you know that's where you kind of create some of the confusion for the other team.
So what part of this defense do you think needs the most improvement? Like where do you feel like you can grow more?
Obviously, I think I'll just say it's in the secondary. I think it's about the linebackers and DBs being in constant communication, knowing who's where, who's got to be the curl player, who's got to be the flat player. You know, knowing if we blitz a safety, who's got to replace where he blitzed from. If we blitz a corner, who's got to replace where he blitzed from. And you know, when they run mesh, because everybody runs mesh, you know, not to chase across. So there's a lot of, I think just because there's so many moving parts on the back eight, that's the place where we can always continue to improve. And then I also think, you know, our pass rush has to get better. You know, we got to be able to sometimes get pressure with three and four, not always have to generate pressure by bringing it. You know, we don't consider rushing four people, you know, even though you blitz a backer, we don't consider rushing four people bringing pressure. That's just rushing four. So we got to be able to get home with four.
All right, we'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Life is fast. Work, family, kids, your internet has to keep up. Upgrade to the best internet service provider in the Golden Isles with Live Oak Fiber. Enjoy blazing fast speeds with no data limits, unmatched reliability, and service. We have thousands of happy customers, so scheduling slots go fast. Don't miss out. Sign up now at liveoakfiber.com or call 888-396-1243.
Dealing with an injury that has you sidelined? Let the highly trained professionals at Advance Rehab get you off the bench and back in the game. With locations in Brunswick, St. Simon, St. Mary's, and Folkestone, we're here to serve you. Whether it's rehab for an injury, post-surgical recovery, performance enhancement, or injury prevention, there's no better answer than Advance Rehab. For more info, check out AdvanceRehab.com or find us on Facebook and Instagram. Give a like and follow.
Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment is brought to you by Live Oak Fiber and by the SouthernSportsEdition.com. Coach, so your starters are out the second half. The attack team plays all of the first, the bite team and more in the second. And the past few games have been that way too, right? Like I think the fourth quarter you've gotten a lot of opportunities for those guys. Is the line of thinking in that way sometimes more about keeping your starters healthy, or is it really about getting experience for the younger players? And I'm sure it's some of both.
I was going to say, so people will say the easy answer is saying both, but it truly is both. We have, you know, I mean, luckily there's a bye week after this. Mm-hmm. We have wars coming up, right?
Oh, yes.
You think about our first three region games, Valdosta, Richmond Hill, Lowndes. And two of them are on the road. So you want to try to preserve these bodies as much as you can because you're going to be in three wars right away. And so for us, it's definitely about preserving. You know, again, I always say this generation likes football. They don't love it. And so we have to make sure that we keep their love fresh. And I think by allowing their teammates to go out there and get some reps, you know, that keeps them fresh mentally. Then on the other hand, you know, how we ever be able to evaluate, like at DB, we're graduating a lot of seniors after this year.
Oh, yes.
We need to have as much game tape as possible, allowable, right, in the course of a season. If you have games where you're winning at a big one from a big margin, you want to get those guys out there in the game. So when we come back in January, we can start to evaluate them for how they played in the Friday night game and a Thursday night game. We have more film to be able to watch them. So, and then plus those guys work hard. Like those guys are doing the same amount of lifting. They're doing the same amount of individual work. They're, you know, they're giving scout looks. So they have earned the right to go out there and play in the game. So that's something that we want to make sure that we continue to try to do. And obviously, as now we get to this point of the season, those opportunities for those backup guys are going to be gone. But we want to make sure that they feel a part. And I think when you do that early, they understand they've done their part in trying to secure a region title. You know, first one since I think it's 2013 or 12. So
that has been several years since we've been 4-0.
Yep, right.
So that's
and
awesome.
And we use that, right? We're trying to tell the guys, like, if you know, if you ever struggle to get yourself excited, hey guys, we're trying to get to 4-0 and 5-0 for the first time in, you know, 15, 20 years, right? And so that's where we want to continue to try to build upon that.
All right, Coach, looking forward to Friday. Spruce Creek comes into town.
Right.
They come in 3-0.
Right.
Their first two games were huge shutouts.
Absolutely.
Something like 40-something to zip and 52 to zip, something like that.
Yeah, it scored 52 at halftime in one of them.
Woo! So what are you expecting out of them, Coach?
It's a big game. You know, they're from Daytona, and, you know, like I was talking to the guy from 912 Sports, and he said he saw an interview where they – when they were asked, the kids and the coaches from Spruce Creek, what game they had circled, it wasn't one of their district games. It was the Camden County game. And, you know, I think there's, you know, double reason behind it. You know, obviously it's a South Georgia game, and then me being from Daytona and having to coach against, you know, Spruce Creek before and the whole Mainland situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I tell people, you know, you're not playing Mainland, you're playing Camden. And it's two, you know, this ain't – that ain't this and this ain't that, you know.
Sure.
You know, and this is a – you know, it's a whole other beast coming up to South Georgia to play football. You know, but you know, they're going to be a good football team. You know, they feel like they've got one of the best rosters they've had in a long time, and you could argue that they do. You know, they've got a really, really good defensive line that I'm excited that we get to experience. They've got a couple kids at DB that are pretty good. You know, they've got a big-time receiver, that they have that's a pick commit. You know, I tell everybody, you know, Brunswick was probably the best group of skilled kids that we've seen all year long. So we're excited about being able to see another
really
good wide out. And they present some unique challenges. I love what they do on offense. You know, they stretch you and make you defend all the grass and give you a lot of eye candy with the motion. So it's going to be a good test for us. It'll be really fun to do. And I think, you know, with them coming from where they're coming from, you guys in the bleachers will see some extra fans this week,
which
I'm glad about. I mean, you know, that's good for our program, you know, good for the bank account, the ticket sales, because there's going to be – I've already gotten several phone calls from people in Daytona, whether my church members or just people from other schools. They're like, we're coming up. We want to see how good Creek is, and we want to see how good Camden really is. So it's going to be it'll be a good game.
A little extra sauce on top of there.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I was going to ask you next, kind of who stands out on film. You talked a little bit about the D-line, defensive back. They've got another stud receiver, if I remember correctly.
Tony Kinsler, he's been really good since youth football, has always been one of the best players in the area. You know, he's a really good ball player, committed to Pitt.
Pittsburgh, okay.
Yeah, committed to Pitt. So, you know, he's when you see him in person, he's a lot more well put together than even what you could see on film. I mean, he's a 5'11". Ball of muscle. I mean, super explosive, hard to tackle, hard to get on the ground. So he's somebody to watch. Number three, a kid that transferred to him from Seabreeze High School, where Coach Davis came from, Denali Campbell, is an explosive kid that plays slot and plays some running back and put him all over. He's a kid that's explosive for him on offense as well. And then I think the running back has had a good start because he's got guys out wide, a lot like us, right, where you got enough guys out wide to where the box doesn't get always crowded. So, and he's done a good job of running the ball. And like I said, on defense, they've got a kid, Darian Norris, who's committed to Georgia Tech. He's a 3-star kid. You know, he's really,
gotta
really
be a smart kid too, going to Tech, right?
Oh yeah, he's a brilliant kid. He's got great parents, and they've done a good job raising him. So he's a smart player. He plays with, you know, his size is one thing, but his motor is what makes him great. He plays with a great motor all game long. And then they got a transfer from Mainland that plays defensive line, a junior, Freddie Wilson. That's a big kid that goes really hard.
Gotta be somebody you know well, then, right?
Yeah, Freddie can play. And then I love Freddie. Lyle's a great kid. Freddie's a 3.4 GPA kid.
Wow.
So yeah, doesn't get in trouble, does everything the right way. So and then they got a safety, Cam Chamble. He's led Volusia in picks the previous two seasons. He's led Volusia
Holy
in picks. He's committed to Kennesaw State, so it's got a good. They got a good roster coming in. You know, they're not gonna. And this won't be. You know, if I told someone, somebody asked me, I said, if we run across Spruce Creek, I was like, I'm gonna be feeling real good going to the bye week. I was like, does that mean we played really, really good football? You know, to get, but and we need the challenge before we go into playing Valdosta. So I hope, I do hope it's a 4-quarter war. You know, it'll be fun. I think our fans, you know, deserve it. Want to see us tested, so it'll be a good test for us going into this game.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, it's homecoming week.
Right.
What kind of distractions does that bring to your football team?
Well,
so much other stuff going on, right?
Like, it's so funny.
Don't they dress up,
parades,
all kind of stuff? Yeah.
Yep. I said one of the best parts about this one, you know, in Daytona, there's so many distractions with, like, just – like kids getting like hotel rooms and rental cars and all this stuff. I hadn't had any of that distraction piece yet. You know, you have to deal with when they're going to go get their haircuts. You know, if they've gone shopping yet, you know, some of them are last minute, you know, boys.
Oh, yes,
a lot sure. like a lot like us husbands, right? Wait till the last minute to go shopping for the outfits.
That's why I got married, so I didn't have to go shopping. Yeah.
So you got that part. You know, you have the dress up days. You know, you have like I saw some of our guys after the game, they were doing their HOKO proposals. I'm like, I guess they their minds were on the game a little bit, but they definitely had other plans. You know, so you have to work through that. But I think, again, playing a good opponent on homecoming helps kind of keep some of that out. So it is kind of a good thing that, you know, we got an opponent that we need to make sure we give our full attention to. You know, it's luckily we've got an experienced staff. And but, you know, there's those things are there. You know, you got the they have the pep rally on Thursday. So, you know, with the parade and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely things that can take your mind away from it. You know, we've made sure to tell the guys, like, guys, homecoming is for football. So remember, with, you know, homecoming, the excitement only stays if and when you win. And I did text the guys.
The most important part,
I texted our leadership counselor on Saturday or Sunday, and I said, hey, guys, let me tell you something. I said, having attended an HBCU, there's a couple games you don't lose: rivalry game and homecoming. I said, those are like religious holidays at HBCUs. I said, so let's make sure we do what we're supposed to do this homecoming week. We handled our rivalry game with Brunswick, and let's make sure we do what we're supposed to do with homecoming week. So
before you came up here to Camden, Coach, I'm sure you took some time to look at the schedule.
Absolutely.
To see, and, you know, we've talked about how that's built in advance. And to see them on the calendar as your homecoming opponent.
Yeah.
Was that, we've heard some things about, did Mainland play them?
In the spring game. In a two-quarter scrimmage, they played them. You know, and it's actually a little deeper because in 21.
But, I mean, historically, have they played?
They used to play all the time, yearly. We played, like, I think the last time we played them consistently was we played them from about the early 90s up until about 05. Then they took a break, got back on the schedule 12, 13.
Are they in the same classification as Mainland?
Separate.
Okay.
And then went back on the schedule in like, we got them back in 12 and 13, lost them. And then my first year back in Mainland, we got them back on the schedule in 21. They beat us in 2021, 10-9. We had a bad snap. And so we couldn't get them back on the schedule after that, 22 and 23. And then the spring game came this year, and my cousin, who's the head coach now, they were able to make it work, and they played a two-quarter scrimmage, and they beat Mainland 7-0 in a scrimmage game.
All these little things that just make it a little bit more spice in the gumbo, right?
Yeah. And like, that's why I keep telling people, like, for me, I'm like, well, yes, I want my get back because we didn't get to play Spruce Creek after we lost to them.
That was the question that I didn't want to say out loud.
Like, well, yes, I want to be able to have the opportunity to play them again. I'm like, I'm in a totally different place. And I, you know, that's why I keep saying, I hope they understand, you know, this is a whole different animal. You know, with what's going to be awaiting them in the sense of our crowd and the noise and the stage that comes with it. You know, it's something different, you know, for people when they get up here. So, you know, obviously you want to always get your get back. And, you know, I want to defend the whole, you know, defend the alma mater kind of resurrect some revenge for the spring game. But, you know, we're excited about it. Cool. Man, like I said, I was surprised to see it on there. It definitely caught my eyes, like, well, I get to get my 2021 redemption here.
There you go.
No, it's going to be fun. Like I said, I'm excited about it just because it's going to get more fans to the game. You know, like I said, I've already fielded a bunch of calls about, you know, do we have cash tickets? Is it an all-go fan? You know, because Mainland plays at Rains at 6 o'clock. So some people are like, they're going to go to that game and then come catch ours because they assume it's going to be a close game, you know, which it should be. And they want to, you know, come up here after halftime. Yeah. So we've got a chance to have some really good crowds up here. It's going to be it'll be a fun, because on top of it being homecoming, so I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere.
Coach, thank you so much for giving me a little bit of time this morning. I really appreciate it as always. It's great to have this time to sit and talk to you. Wish you luck and health. Can't wait to get out on Friday. Thanks for listening, and please join us again on the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Please come check us out next week. My name is Mike Spears, signing off.